appreciate it. This was the group that I was having trouble counting this morning. Sister Karen had the whole family, and I know it was a blessing on Mother's Day. I got a little confused. Everybody seemed to be tied. All seemed to have about the same number of kids and the same number of birthdays, so I was having trouble that way. Open your Bibles with me tonight. I want you to go to the book of Hebrews for our starting place, and we're just going to look at a text there and then run over to John for a text. And I'm going to talk to you on something. You're going to think I got this backwards. I'll explain it in a minute. I want to talk to you tonight on believing is seeing. You say, no, you mean seeing is believing. No. No, I mean believing is seeing. Look with me in Hebrews chapter 11. Familiar portion. We'll read a few verses down. Hebrews 11, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the world was framed by the word of God. Now I want you to look at something. Through faith, that's believing, we understand. Understanding comes second. That's backwards, but much we hold true in the Word of God as Christians is backwards from the way the world looks at it. So through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Something behind the scenes. Then it gives this example of Abel and all the heroes of faith in chapter 11. Down in verse 6 says, but without faith it's impossible to please him. Do you understand that these heroes that are mentioned, such as Abraham, Moses, do you realize they believed before they saw? Think about it. Wasn't Abraham looking for a city whose builder and maker was God right here in this 11th chapter? Well, he believed before he saw. And so did Moses.
And the rest of them. To get a hold of. But the text puts Christianity in opposition with the world system. And boy, are we ever seeing that today. You see, the difference is I know. Here's where the president orders and is into creating now America's first ever national monument to sodomy. And the national park staff is being working on this right now to put up a monument to the homosexuals in the Greenwich Village neighborhood, and they kind of say that's where it kind of broke into the open, and many of you will remember that as the birthplace of the gay movement, so to speak. And on through here were some pictures and some stuff. The area there in Greenwich Village is called Stonewall. It's a bar, gay bar kind of thing, just a pit's what it is. It's a garbage pit. But anyway, they're going to honor that, and they're trying to find a space there where they can put up a monument. Because the president says that it's a critical event in the nation's social progress. Progress. Isn't that amazing? Well, you see, that's looking at things a little bit different than the Bible looks at it. Amen? And the way we look at it, there's a bunch of other stuff right here. Here's a rabbi, and I've seen stuff by him before. Rabbi Jonathan Kahn, at the National Day of Prayer here just recently, he challenged President Obama And he said this, said, Mr. President, didn't you lay your hand on the word of God when you took the oath of office? By the way, if you'll remember, it kind of got messed up when Judge Roberts was swearing him in and it had to be done again. I wonder if the Lord didn't get in that. Anyway, the rabbi says, did you not lay your hand on the word of God to assume the oath of your presidency? Then how do you take the same hand and the exact words and laws that war against the very word on which you swore your oath? That's true. The word of God's against sodomy and homosexuality and all this business. Amen? Sure it is. And so the rabbi is certainly right there. And so much of this this stuff coming in like this, it is amazing. But you see, we got a different worldview. We got a different goal. We're heading a different direction. We're seeing, but we're believing even before we see. I want you to go to another text that'll kind of make that point a little bit. Go to John chapter 7, gospel as we say according to John. John chapter 7. And if you meditate on this verse a little bit, now this will help you privately. It'll kind of help you in your walk with the Lord if you get to thinking about it. I've practiced it, not always as much as I would have liked to, but I can look back and I can see some great victories because I did just exactly what this verse is saying. John chapter 7, pick it up with me in verse 17. If any man will do his will, now let's number it. Number one, if any man will do his will, number two, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. This is Jesus talking. What's he saying? He's saying, go ahead and trust God and do what you know his will is before you understand the doctrine of it. That's backwards. I know it's backwards, but hey, that's walking by faith. Somebody says, you know, God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. That's not quite right. The truth is, God said it, that settles it, whether I believe it or not. That's the way you need to look at that. And folks, we are in a day and time today where if you and I are not walking by faith today, we ought to be scared to death with the stuff that we see happening and coming on. Somebody says, what do you think about this election? I think it's a mess. Somebody says, well, Trump is an unknown quantity. He sure is, but I know the quantity on the other side. It's not unknown. And you say, you're gonna vote for somebody? No, we're going to vote against somebody. There's a little difference there, little difference. The truth of the matter, we are in a mess. I don't think any human is going to straighten it out. Only Jesus. If I can postpone it a little bit, if I can buy some time, I'm going to stand against evil every way I can. We're to occupy it till he comes. That's what the scripture tells us. But at the same time, we can recognize what a mess the world system has gotten into. I'll tell you what, it's so deceptive, it is pitiful. So amazing. Let me just move on to just a little bit and say a few things. There's a lot of things you do as a Christian, you believe them, you do them, and then later on you find out what God reveals about them. Some of you may still be having a hard time tithing. That's a step of faith. God's going to make you tithe first before you can't prove it any other way. Now he says, prove me. Now don't get quiet on me. If you know, you can fake it by saying amen, whether you tithe or not, amen. But the truth of the matter, that's something that you got to believe before you'll ever do it. Because it may be, God knows your motive, and before you see the heavens open and the blessings come down, you're going to have to take a step of faith in that area and a lot of other areas. So I'm saying to you, sometime believing is seeing, and as you go through the 11th chapter of Hebrews, you find that out. I don't want to do that tonight. I'm talking here a little bit about the fact that as Christians, we're coming against the world system. The world system is going to be a big monster, a beast, as the book of Revelation calls it, and we're seeing that beast raise its head in ways that I can't hardly believe. I caught a little bit this afternoon of Chris Wallace interviewing the governor of North Carolina. Did anybody else catch that on the news? That is heartbreaking. Do you understand that the king in the White House, the dictator, has said to the governor of North Carolina, tomorrow, Monday is your deadline, to do away with your state's legislation, passing a bill keeping the perverts out of the restrooms. And if you don't by tomorrow annul it, then we're going to take all the school funds, and even DOT, the Department of Transportation, is looking into the fact of whether or not they can withdraw the federal funds from the roads in North Carolina. And to hear that governor there try to defend, he said, look, I can't undo our legislation. That has a process that you go through. They have to meet and all that. But we've got a government now that's dictating. Whether you know it or not, the Antichrist kingdom is coming together, and much of what you read about in the tribulation period in the book of Revelation is already right now. I want to tell you, that restroom thing, you say, oh, that's not big. It's very big. It's for the universities. It's for all public restrooms. It's for the rest stops on the highway. It's for businesses, and we're only about that far away before the churches will be included. Right. So it's a pretty big thing. And it's just the immoral thing. I'm going to build a monument to that crowd. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
And then to hear the governor there and how he's being dictated to, he said he asked him for 1 week's extension to do what he could do through a process. They said, no, 5 o'clock tomorrow. You ought to pray about that situation.
Amen.
You really ought to. But we're going to be the place that we're judged on not only what we do, but they're going to read our minds about what we think.
Amen.
We're there, folks. I've mentioned it before, but Orwell's 1984. Now, Orwell was a secular lost man. He wrote a book in 1948. He reversed the title of it, and he put 1984, and he wrote about what Big Brother government would become by 1984. He didn't miss it much, brother, at all. I mean, and it has gotten worse. And just think about what's happened since 1984 to now. And it would move to the place now that we've got what he predicted in the book, the thought police. Judge you by what they think you're thinking. Right up here in Atlanta, there's a fireman. His last name was Gear. I can't remember his first name right now. He made the mistake. I mean, he had a career in the fire department, but he made the mistake on Facebook or something else, writing something about what was right or wrong, or putting some scripture on there against the gay movement. And when he did, he lost his job, his retirement, and everything. That's the thought police I'm talking about. It's amazing that we've moved to that. The character in Orwell's 1984 book, I believe his name was Winston Smith, and he talked about how the cameras would be everywhere. Aren't they there? He talked about how what we would call the TV in the room would be watching us, and how that they would be spying on everybody, everything you say. We're to the place now that our phone calls and everything is right there. It's for them to have. And spanking kids, did you see the scene on TV the other day when they gave that one little boy a wallop on his bleep? Did you see that? Nobody saw that. Wasn't on Oprah now, or As the Stomach Turns, or any of those other soap operas. They made a big deal, and the newsman said, oh, this is horrible to watch. Brother, he'd have sure passed out if he'd have watched my dad get a hold of me when I was a kid, wouldn't he? My soul. No, the only thing I saw wrong with it was the kid needed several more wallops. And you say, well, you don't dare spank a kid. Well, then just deny the Bible all you want to and reap for it later on down the road. That's what you'll do if you do it. It's an amazing situation. But we move now to where they're concerned about what we're thinking. Everyone being spied on. And boy, you get more prison time now over running over a turtle or killing a snake than you will a human being. Now, you think I'm joking, but right out here where we had our radio station, the AM station, drive by there, there's a tower still standing. It's got a bird nest in the top of it. It's an osprey nest, sort of a smaller eagle, I guess you'd call him. And you know what? He took over our tower and he owns it. So when we went out to try to tear it down, we couldn't. And so they come out there with their game warden looking uniforms on and with guns on and everything when we was out there. Don't touch that tower. Don't shake it. Don't disturb that bird. And I got one of the men aside, and of course they were just doing their job. And I said, what in the world's going on? He said, preacher, you'd be in more trouble if you disturb that bird than if you killed somebody. That's what the man said to me. And by the way, the bird's still out there. The tower's still there. Nobody dares touch it. Amen. That's where we have moved to, folks. Gone crazy. But the thought police now is concerned about what we're thinking. That's why you've heard me joke about it before. But the hate crimes. Now, if you kill somebody, you better tell them you love them before you shoot them, brother. Otherwise, you'll be charged with a hate crime. Amen. It has gone crazy. Really, really gone crazy. Planned Parenthood right now. Now, I know it's been in the political thing, but somehow they survive it, don't they? Yeah. Some of you folks ought to look up Margaret Sanger. She's the founder of Planned Parenthood. Hillary Clinton, I got it right here. Let me just read it so you won't think I'm making it up. Hillary Clinton said, I admire Margaret Sanger enormously, her courage, her tenacity, her vision. You ought to check out what Margaret Sanger said. All you black folks, listen to me a minute. Here's what she said. Colored people are like human weeds and need to be exterminated. Here it is. Look in her writings. I didn't write it. I'm telling you what she said. I'm telling you that's Hillary's hero. But I see on the news where about 90% of the black population is going for Hillary. You're being deceived whether you know it or not. That abortion mill was started to get rid of your people, your race, more so than whites. Catch me in a lie and I'll apologize. I'm telling you the truth right here. You ought to know that. I know it's going over the radio, and the white coats may come after me tomorrow, but until they do, I'm going to exercise this freedom of speech and tell you the truth. And you need to hear it. Amen. Now, the thought police are here. Colleges giving classes on check out and see if maybe you were homosexual and didn't know it. I'm not joking you a bit. Truth. It's amazing. And you say, well, so what? Well, it's changing our thinking. Amen. You say, oh, not mine. Well, you'd be surprised. The stats say it's working on us. Yeah. That we're being brainwashed and don't know it, I guess. In 1988, and I'm reading a note I wrote here. In 1988, 74% of the population in a poll said homosexuality was wrong. Now it's even 50% on both sides. Don't tell me it's not working. Yeah. It's working big time. TV propaganda, that's all it is. Michigan University of Michigan, they got a course on learning how to be gay. Amazing. We moved to that area, and our mindset, faith, believing what God said, obeying what he said, and then let God prove the doctrine to us later. That's where we are as Christians, but that's not tolerated by the world. They're against the way we think about things. The thought police is after us, no doubt about it. Then I move on to say, Orwell had something else. And while he wasn't a prophet, he was a lost man. I don't even recommend reading his book to young people. God's got a lot of dirt in it. But at the same time, what he predicted is already on us and has become history with us. One of the things he predicted was the words would be changed and we'd move into what's called new speak or double speak. That means the remaking of the meaning of the words. So when's that going to happen? Already been happening. See, if I say the word gay right now, you don't think about the true meaning of it. You think about the homosexual connection. I laugh on our radio station every now and then. We've got an old song where one of the old quartets are singing, and they'll say, the cows in the meadow are happy and gay. I like to hear it. Let's use the word the right way. But see, it's been changed. Double speech's moved in on us. And you young folks say, that's bad. What you mean is that's good. And in my day, it would have been good. But now it's bad. No, I have a hard time with that stuff. You know what I'm talking about. But at the same time, ignoring God's word for what it means. And today our thoughts are being policed. The words we're saying are being policed. And today you can get in trouble by using Bible words in the correct setting, in the correct meaning, and having something else put on it.
Yeah.
I'll never forget we were having a fight over the college with the bureaucracy in Tallahassee many years ago. And we had a Saturday morning meeting with the bureaucracy up at the Marriott Hotel in Orlando, and it was a pretty good little group of us there, and I had to get up and represent our college, and I gave them a good blast, and I, by the grace of God, we won the thing. But I had written a letter, and in that letter, in the challenge of whatever we were facing, whatever they were trying to do in their attack on us, I had written a letter. So when I got up there, the board had the letter in front of them. And one of the women got after me and fussed because I made this statement in the letter. I said, our preacher boys, you can't, the word boys, see, oh, that was wrong. Really got upset over me calling students preacher boys. Now, I didn't back down off of it, but that's how stupid it was. We call our young preachers preacher boys, and I don't care if they're 50 years old. If they're starting out to preach, they're a preacher boy, amen? And so we didn't back down, but I mean, that was a slur, she said. I could not use that word. That's crazy. But that's where we've come to, this new speak, this thing that Orwell was talking about. No doubt about it. It's exactly that way. And that's too bad that it is. But now you watch it. You see it everywhere you look. You hear about it. You hear about it in the environmentalist crowd that's stolen our property rights away. You're hearing it now with this gender, no difference in the genders. Something wrong with you if you don't think there's any difference in the genders.
Yeah.
It's crazy. And what's going on is going to get worse, folks. You see, there was a time the church could sit over here and do its thing. It could win souls. It could send missionaries. It could do the job. And sort of in a way, we were all right. But all of a sudden, now what we believe goes against the system. So now we're being targeted. And government agencies, you saw where the IRS was being used against the conservatives. And what came of that? Nothing but a whole pile of talk. There's two or three people ought to went to jail over that, but they didn't. And the leading Democratic candidate right now ought not go to the White House, but the big house. That's where she ought to be for what is already done and for what was done for others, including a sailor boy on a ship that posed for a picture to send home to his girlfriend, and he didn't realize that he was posing in front of one of the big guns on the ship, and he got court-martialed for having a picture sent of that gun. What about Benghazi and all the rest of that mess? What about the emails in her closet and all that? But you see, that's the system now. You say, that's political. No, it's Bible, brother. Righteousness exalteth a nation. Sin is a reproach to any people. And it's still true. It's still in the Word of God. Amen? But I think about this coming utopia. Psalms 2 tells us that they're saying just what they're saying in Psalms 2. We want their bands cast asunder. We want to break out from what God said is right. We want to get away from His word. We want to do our own thing. We're not going to let God be our judge. We're not going to let God tell us what to do. That's why we're having not only the Bible and prayer and all that kicked out of school long, long time ago. And by the way, let me drop this on you. Christian parents, it may not be happening tomorrow here, but when it does get to our area, and it'll get here soon, are you going to still send your little girls down to the public school to have the restroom shared with the boys?
Yeah.
I just can't hardly get off of that. Let me make a prediction, and I hate to make this prediction. You will. I'm talking to the folks in Radio Land as well as in this building. Yeah, you will. There's a lot of things you said you wouldn't do, but you've been doing them. Just by osmosis, just moves right in. That's a terrible thing to think about that. Did you see the cartoon in the Ledger this week? It was in color. Cartoon in the Ledger had this obvious man, though he had a dress on. You knew he was a man, I mean, by his shape, by his size, by his beard. But he was in the woman's restroom. The cartoon made more sense than the rest of the paper. The cartoon pictured him with something like a deodorant or a perfume, and there was a lady sticking her head out from behind the shower curtain, and he was telling her, now this is a great perfume. And a little girl was coming in the door, and this monster of a man is standing there with a dress on. Hey, that cartoon is telling it like it is. And it's going to be like that. And you see, just exactly what's happening to the governor of North Carolina, if our public school here or there, principal here or there, refuses to let it happen, all it takes is one boy that wants to just call trouble and say, I feel like a girl today, so I'm going in the girl's room. Now, in my day, we wouldn't have needed the governor's okay to get him out. But we've come to that now. You know who would be in the biggest trouble? The one that blocked him at the door. Be in legal trouble. Discrimination. What a joke. What a joke. But their coming utopia is to get free of the Lord's strings, get free of the Lord's bands. And you and I, with the way we think about things, we're withholding their plans. We're upsetting things. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 talks about he that will let until he's taken out of the way. I believe the Holy Spirit of God. You can argue on that if you want to, but I believe the restraining force against the full revealing of the Antichrist and his program is God's people. And when we're caught out, brother, he has got so many things in place. Overnight, he's going to be in charge. Yeah. It's going to happen quick. It's going to happen quick. I do believe we'll get raptured out before probably he's recognized, but the Bible says he will be revealed. That means he already had to exist. Before he's identified, before he's revealed. And things are building up to that. It is amazing how it's building up. They're looking for their utopia to come. They're going to get it. However, according to the Bible, it's going to be pretty short. Maybe 3.5 years of the early part of the trip, 7-year trip, perhaps. Maybe so. But right now, there's a restrainer on them. God is holding back. President Lincoln said this, and I sure don't agree with him on everything, but he made a good statement. I wrote a note down here. He said, the people are the masters of both Congress and the courts. Not to overthrow the Constitution, but the men, overthrow the men who would pervert the Constitution. You do have a right to stand against evil up in high places. And no matter that it's written in what the Supreme Court just did in ruling on the so-called gay marriage, that is contrary to our forefathers, to the Constitution, to the Word of God, to everything was decent. And somebody says, well, it's the law, we got to obey it. No, not necessarily. In the book of Acts, Peter said, whether we obey God or man, judge ye. Now, you may pay a penalty if you break man's law, but when you stand before him, there's times that what's called man's law ought to be disobeyed. And in this sodomy atmosphere we're in now, it ought to be disobeyed. And you pray for the governor of North Carolina and all the rest of this business that's going on, that somehow or another God will intervene. If he doesn't, it just means, folks, the good side of it is it's later than we thought. And Jesus is coming sooner than we thought. That's the good side of it. Amen. Yes, we're in a time. You and I are left here to be salt and light. We're to represent the Lord every way that we can, but our removal will give them their temporary utopia. If the rapture takes place Do you realize the forces that standing against evil basically in this world will be removed for a while? That's true. That's true. You know what separates us now is the gospel, is the word of God, and the way we look at things. The way we look at things. You see, our plan is to believe. We'll see a fulfillment of that belief later. They're saying to us, well, we don't believe that. We can't see it. No, you see what you want to. We believe the word of God. Even the parts I don't totally understand, I still believe it. And I've seen some things in my early life I didn't understand, but I trusted God with them anyway. And later on, he let me see and have the understanding. The understanding followed the faith. Followed the faith, as we spoke about a while ago. You know, the big thing right now, I want to say this, even lost people in America, especially down south here, especially in a place like Haines City, they've heard enough gospel, even though they didn't get saved, even though they've rejected the Lord Jesus Christ, they've heard enough preaching. And some of you listening to me on the radio right now, I'm ringing your number. Listen to me. You've heard enough gospel, you ought to be able to watch a news program, read a newspaper, and see your time is short to get saved. I mean, you're gambling with your very soul. See what's going on. Understand what's going on. You say, well, that's all bad stuff. It won't get to me. I got my gun loaded, uh-huh. The truth is, that's not your answer. It won't work. The truth is, what will work, what will allow you to escape what's coming, is to go up when your saved wife goes up. When your kids go up, to go with the Lord when he comes, because you know him. You say, oh, preacher, I can't see it. You better see it by faith and trust God with the rest of it. Amen. You know the saddest part of Orwell's book? Saddest part of it. He fought it. He resisted. This man, this character, whoever he was, Winston Smith, I believe was his name, he fought it through the book. He resisted it. He'd go in his apartment, and he'd realize the cameras was on him, and he'd try to get around in the corner and try to get behind something because he knew Big Brother was watching. And so he resisted, and he tried those things in his workplace and in his little old apartment they'd assigned to him. And he went through the book with that struggle. But finally, in the end, the saddest part of the book to me was when it said this, speaking of that character, that man named Smith, the saddest part was when it said he won the victory. He won the victory over himself. And the book ended with him loving Big Brother. Oh, yeah, totally brainwashed. He resisted, but it wore him down. And I see America being wore down. I see churches being wore down. I see individuals. All of a sudden, we can just tolerate it. No more standards. No more Christian separation. Just go ahead and join everything and become part of it. Folks, it's moving like a tornado through churches, changing everything they can to adapt to the world. Oh, it's amazing. Listen, if it was wrong in Grandpa's day, it's still wrong today. If it was sin then, it's sin now. If Grandpa stood against it, the nudity, the immorality, and all that we could name, we still ought to stand against it. Amen. If he stood for this book and it was true then, it's still true now. We ought to get a hold of this thing that we are moving so close now into the time of the great deception and delusion of the Antichrist that if we're not careful, like Orwell's character, we'll get the victory over ourselves. And quit fighting them and just join them. Please, let's not do that. Let's stay true to the trumpet sounds. Amen. Till Jesus comes. I believe he's coming soon, don't you? Amen. Let's stand, please. Father, we ask your blessing tonight. I've kind of rambled around, but I hope, Lord, that some folks got the idea that we're to believe you even when we can't understand it. We're to believe you when the whole world system is against us. We're to believe you and trust you that you'll show us the truth, the doctrine, what is right. but you want us to take that step of faith first. I pray you'd bless in the midst of our church, our families, and help us, Lord, in a time when the world just seems to be in charge and dictating against God, that we'll still stand with him by faith. Bless the invitation tonight. If somebody's here unsaved, we invite them to come and trust Christ. And Father, if there's some here that's just following you far off and hiding in a corner and dodging, taking a stand, I pray for them. Help us, Lord, to be bold as the apostles were, to stand for you even when the persecution comes. Bless now, Father, in the invitation. In Jesus' name, amen. Whatever God's asked you to do, I'll ask Brother Cruz to sing verse of invitation. And if you need to come to the altar, you come. If you need to get saved, I'll meet you right here. Talk to you about how you'd be saved and know it.